This is HNN.
Good evening. This is HNN, your Hollow Table News Network. Is your not even remotely close to around the clock Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes news, reactions, reviews, theory crafting, and more source. I'm Sir Georges, your host, and today we're joined by my distinguished co-host, Celiac Sarah.
How are you?
I'm great, because we got some good news to go over.
We got a lot of news.
Pretty packed last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And the most exciting, and it's going to differ for different people, is that crystals have been taken away from Arena.
Yeah, they're gone. As of today.
Bombshell.
Goodbye. And
there have been added to Grand Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Colossal shift in the game. Biggest change probably in the history of the game, I'd say.
How do you feel about this? Like, what was your initial reaction?
No, you don't get to hear it yet.
Oh, okay.
We'll get there.
Okay. Jumping the gun. Okay, carry on.
No, I appreciate your question. So we got 3 character kits.
Mm-hmm.
They revealed the rest of the Legends characters that are coming to the game. Damn. And a huge State of the Galaxy, which the last State of the Galaxy was big.
Right.
Wasn't the last one when they did the gear changes?
Yes. Because it was State of the Gear-laxy. I still can't say it.
State of the Gear-laxy. That one was big.
Yeah.
This one is bigger.
This one is basically all Grand Arena, like the whole post, and it's so long.
It is.
It's a
very
novel.
detail math oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll go over that slightly. We'll see what we can get through today. But the State of the Galaxy will be our Bantha in the room.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that later. First, let's try to cover Starkiller and Mara Jade.
Yes. Who do we want to start with?
Who do you want to read? That's the real question.
I want to read Mara Jade.
Okay. So you'll read Mara Jade. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I don't even know anything about her. I'm ashamed to say.
I know that she is Luke's wife.
No way.
That's what everyone tells me.
Wait a second. But she's dark side.
So this is what I have been told. I don't know. I haven't read the book where she initially showed up, or the comic. So forgive me if I get this wrong. Someone will correct me, I'm sure. From what I understand, she is dark side, and she does turn to the light side and become a Jedi and marries Luke and all that.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
I might have gotten that reversed, but I'm pretty sure that's how it works, because I feel like if that's how it works, then it makes sense that we got the dark side version of her, because it's like her initial iteration. Somebody please correct me if I'm wrong.
I think you're right. I'm Googling it right now.
Okay.
I think you're right.
Cool. So I would just like to say that when I heard that she was coming to the game, like I knew that it could be light side or dark side, I immediately was like, she's going to be dark side. So that's all I would like to say, basically, before we start.
They totally should have put her in the new trilogy.
Oh, man. This is...
Let her marry Luke.
This is going to be... This is going to be good. So, okay.
Yeah, so you go ahead and read hers.
Oh, okay. So her actual name is Mara Jade, the Emperor's Hand, not just Mara Jade. That's what it looks like, at least. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm gonna say they did that to differentiate the two Mara Jades in the timeline.
And then how there's the Bastila Shan and Bastila Shan Fallen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, so it's Dark Side Attacker, Empire, and Dasufu, Dark Side Unaligned Force User. So her basic ability, Calculated Shot. deal special damage to target enemy twice and inflict daze for two turns. If Emperor Palpatine is the leader, he assists if it's Mara Jade's turn. Otherwise, a random ally with useful pawn assists, dealing 50% less damage. Okay, so right away, you want Palpatine as the leader, most likely, is the vibe
that I'm getting. Or either way, she's going to be calling an assist with her basic.
Right.
And dazing.
Well, if they have whatever useful pawn is.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Cool.
First special, Ultimate Predator, has a cooldown of 4. The animation looks pretty cool. Oh, it's a Zeta. Okay, so Zeta, dispel all buffs and inflict stun and vulnerable for one turn on target enemy, then deal special damage to all enemies and inflict tenacity down for one turn. This ability deals double damage to shocked enemies and Jedi. Cool.
Okay. So an AoE with AoE tenacity down.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Stun and vulnerable on the target enemy.
Okay.
Pretty good.
It's a good move.
Second special, also a cooldown of 4. Infiltrate and disrupt. Also a Zeta. Deal special damage to all enemies and inflict offense down, shock, and stagger for 2 turns. Mara Jade gains stealth for 2 turns and 1.25% turn meter for each debuff inflicted by this ability. If Emperor Palpatine is the leader, he also gains 1.25% turn meter for each debuff inflicted by this ability. So she can inflict 3, so 15, up to 15, if you have a full. I guess if you technically have a summon on the enemy team, it could be up to 6.
Right.
People. So 18 times whatever 1.25 is. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't.
So about 18% turn meter.
Right.
For a successfully all 3 debuff AoE on 5 characters.
Right. That doesn't seem crazy.
But no, maybe. But the debuffs are crazy.
Yes. That is a lot.
AoE stagger.
Yeah. And shock and offense down.
And not like a 50% chance to stagger. The entire enemy team gets staggered.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. That's one of the best moves in the game.
You like not this one?
Oh, yeah. Not if you don't count Galactic Legend Ultimates and stuff like that.
Right.
Just for a normal character, this is one of the best moves in the game.
Yeah. It's pretty, I mean, even the animation is pretty cool.
It is.
Right. Okay. So she has a unique, the Emperor's Hand, which is an om nom nom. Okay, so if Emperor Palpatine is in the leader slot at the start of the encounter, Empire and Sith allies have plus 20% offense and potency. Otherwise, all other dark side allies gain useful pawn until the end of the encounter, which can't be copied or dispelled. Mara Jade has plus 10% critical chance, critical damage, and offense for each ally with useful pawn. At the start of Mara Jade's and Emperor Palpatine's turns, so at the start of either of their turns, Mara Jade gains a stack of Loyal Hand up to a max of stacks of 20 until the end of the encounter. If Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker is on the enemy squad, Mara Jade blinds Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker for 1 turn at the start of her turn, which can't be evaded or resisted. Does that mean at the start of every one of her turns, yes, she blinds him?
That's what it sounds like.
Okay. Useful pawn is minus 5% critical chance, critical damage, and offense. What? So she's taking away
weakening her own team. Yeah.
Okay. Loyal Hand. This is the one where she gains up to 20 sacks is 10% plus 10% max protection and offense. So she could theoretically have plus 200%
protection
and offense.
Yeah.
Okay. And then while in territory wars, so her Omnom is a territory war one. At the start of battle, if the enemy leader is not a galactic legend, they lose 100% protection.
What?
50% max protection, and Mara Jade gains 100% turn meter. Whenever an enemy unit is defeated, all allies gain 20% max protection, and Mara Jade inflicts vulnerable for one turn on a random enemy, which can't be evaded or resisted. Man, wow. That is a cool unique.
Wow.
Okay, so I'm just trying to understand. So they only gain, the only way to get useful pawn is
if you don't have Palpatine.
If you don't have Palpatine in the leader slot, then you get useful pawn. If you do have Palpatine in the leader slot, you don't gain that at all.
Right. Never comes into play at all.
Right. But then you get the loyal hand thing at the start of her turn and at the start of Palpatine's.
Yes.
Whoa.
But you could have a different leader, like Vader.
Yeah.
Still have Palpatine on the squad. So still gain the loyal hand.
That's a nice little workaround.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I still think Palpatine will be the best. Useful pawn.
She blinds Luke.
That's so awesome. He gets love struck and can't do anything. That's awesome.
Man.
That's funny.
That is so cool. Okay, I like her kit. Whoa.
Yeah,
I also like that she has a purple lightsaber.
That's pretty cool too. She really pumps up Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah, she does.
Leadership already is good with the turn meter gains. And here she is now putting a ton of debuffs, which when expiring and he's the leader, will give a bunch of turn meter gain. Her second special gives a bunch of turn meter gain just for applying debuffs, not even having them expire.
Right.
And for an AoE shock, one of the things that you try to do with Palpatine is get shock on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then it builds up the turn meter he gets from his basic.
Yeah.
So that he can just have a never ending line of turns. But with this, you don't even have to wait to have him do a basic on every character. She'll just do her AoE. Mm-hmm. They all have shock. And now when he does his basic, mm-hmm. I think if there are five enemies, I think he gets 15% turn meter. And so with five enemies, that's 60. No, that's 75. And then I think if he applies shock on his basic, he gets 20% from his lead. So she helps him get to that 95% turn meter gain from using his basic threshold.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's going to epically enhance him.
That's fun. I like that.
Yeah.
So that's Mara Jade. She'll be in the game tomorrow as a marquee.
Yeah. And with that territory wars.
Yeah.
So if you set her on defense with Palpatine, she's going to start the match before anyone else gets any turn meter.
Yeah.
And I don't know which special she'll use, but let's say she does the AoE stagger one, and then Vader's on the squad and he follows up with an AoE force crush. And now the entire enemy team has lost all turn meter that they've built up to Vader's turn.
I don't even know if I would want to put her on defense, though.
Forcing you to use a Galactic Legend.
You would have to use a Galactic Legend to negate that.
Right. How are you going to counter this team with the... And every second squad, like if you try to whittle them down, every second squad, if you don't use a Galactic Legend, mm-hmm. she gets to go first again.
Right. So, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm assuming the Galactic Legend part is only for that first sentence. Like, regardless of if there's a Galactic Legend or not, all allies are still going to gain 20% max protection.
Yes, I think so. And
her inflict vulnerable.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's how I read it, at least.
Yeah. I think you're right, yeah.
So.
That's a good one. You think it's up there for the list of Omicrons to get?
Yeah, that is calling out a direct team. Like, you have to take a Galactic Legend in now.
Right, versus a non-Galactic Legend.
Absolutely. Like, that is setting a trap.
It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome.
Yikes.
It'll help in the territory war strategies.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah, I like it. Any other comments?
No, I like it. I want her.
Yeah, pretty awesome. I wasn't expecting her, so I'm very happy that she got added.
Yeah, that's fun.
On to Starkiller.
Cool. I'm just hearing real quick that you apparently sound echoey.
I sound echoey.
You sound fine on Zoom, but you sound echoey on the stream.
Yeah. I understand. Not sure how to fix that. We'll probably have to do it for next time.
Okay. I didn't know if it was an easy setting.
I wish it was, but it does not seem easy for me to figure out. I'm not that technologically enhanced. Okay, here we go. Starkiller.
Okay.
Dark side attacker, unaligned force user.
Okay.
Powerful dark side force user whose inner conflict lifts up other force users.
Do we know, sorry to interrupt you, does he unlock at 5 or 7 star?
I would say 7.
Okay. Just curious.
I don't know for sure, but he requires all the characters at Relic 5.
Right. That would make sense then.
I'm going to guess he's 7 star.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good. You're good. So his basic imbued lightsaber strike. So it's a lightsaber strike with force lightning built into it. Deal physical damage to target enemy twice. And if it is Starkiller's turn, inflict shock for 1 turn to target enemy. And deal physical damage to all other enemies, which can't be countered. And when he is unleashed, which we'll get to, I guess, later,
mm-hmm.
using his basic will reduce his special ability cooldowns by 1. So Starkiller's basic deals damage twice and then an AoE. So his basic is an AoE.
Yeah. And inflict shock.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Pretty good basic.
With the potential to you know, decrease reduce his cooldowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Special 1, boundless force throw. With boundless force throw, this is an Omicron ability.
Okay.
Interesting. Deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict dazed and vulnerable for 2 turns, which can't be resisted. Gain 25 stacks of force energy. This ability can't be evaded. If he is unleashed, then inflict buff immunity and healing immunity for 2 turns, which can't be resisted. So to a single target enemy, he's dazing, vulnerable, gains force energy, and inflicts buff immunity and heal immunity. While in Grand Arena, because that's what his Omicrons are going to be geared towards. While in Grand Arena, while he is unleashed, this move will dispel all debuffs on all allies. And the buff immunity and healing immunity can't be copied, dispelled, or resisted.
Oh.
So a guaranteed buff immunity and healing immunity.
For 2 turns.
Yeah, and an AoE cleanse. Okay, okay.
I don't know how much I like that as an Omicron.
Yeah, not super epic. Yeah, especially for the cost of an Omicron.
Maybe I'll like it more when I read the rest of his kit.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see how it plays out. Special 2, Force Repulse. Cooldown of 4. And they really nailed the way the animation looks. It's just like the game. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
final tech, final text Omicron. Okay, so we probably just read a weak Omicron.
Okay.
And they're going to have a bunch of them. Yeah, he's got at least 3. Yeah, so.
Okay.
We just read the worst one of his.
It's fine.
Here is Force Repulse, cooldown of 4. Dispel all buffs on target enemy and deal physical damage to all enemies, which can't be evaded. This attack deals 5% more damage for each buff dispelled.
Okay.
So his last move was an AoE cleanse for allies. This move is an AoE dispel. Or not even an AoE. No, single target dispel.
Right. But AoE damage.
AoE damage. Okay, interesting. If he is unleashed, he will deal 25% more damage for each buff dispelled instead.
Okay.
So if he dispels like a Padme squad who's put 10 different little protection ups on there, that could be like a 200% damage increase. Okay.
This is a good Omicron then. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. I was just about to read it. So this Omicron, while in Grand Arenas, he'll dispel all buffs on all enemies.
So it's now an AoE dispel.
AoE dispel, AoE deal damage. And if he's unleashed,
25% more damage. That's good.
That is good. So now let's say you're fighting Bad Batch.
Right.
And they've each got 8 different buffs on all of them. So now it's like 50 buffs you're dispelling. At 25% bonus damage per buff.
You're just going to kill him. Like, that's going to be a one shot.
Instant one shot. Can't be evaded. They're all dead.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Okay. I can see the value in this Omicron.
Yeah.
That could be a good move. Okay. Now we're getting crazy.
Okay.
So he's got 2 uniques left. But before we get there, his granted ability.
What is a granted ability? Is this like a Thrawn thing? Like a granted ability?
No, I'd say it's more like an ultimate, but he's not a galactic legend, so he's not allowed to have an ultimate.
So it's a new thing.
It is. Yes. It's a one-time granted ability that we have not seen this type of... Yeah, we haven't seen this type of move before.
Oh, you can literally use this once.
Yeah. Limit one use. Because.
Okay.
If you ever played the game or saw the trailers for it, one of the epic things that he was capable of doing is he was so strong in the Force that he pulls a Star Destroyer out of the sky.
Right.
Well, now in this game, one of his moves, size means nothing, is that he literally pulls the Star Destroyer out of the sky and onto your enemies.
This looks cool.
It's super cool. Super cool. Okay, limit one use per battle. Deal damage equal to 80% of Starkiller's max health to all enemies and stun them for one turn, which can't be resisted. AoE stun, AoE health-based damage. Then all allies recover 100% health and protection.
Okay.
So now full heal for the team as well. And if this attack defeats an enemy, Starkiller takes a bonus turn. This ability can't be evaded. Okay, it's a great move. Not sure it reflects bringing a Star Destroyer down on the enemies with what it does.
Yeah. But I'm trying to decide when, I mean, obviously on paper it's totally different, like when would be the opportune time to do it since you only have it once,
right?
Hmm.
But pretty good. Whenever you can use it, it's got to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Full heal for your team, 80% health of all enemies, and an AoE stun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good move. Okay,
I feel like because he's a Grand Arena Omicron, you'd have to do that towards the end if you can, because then you're going to have 100% health and protection when the battle's over.
That's a good point.
Like, that's
max,
full banners.
Max your banners out. Yeah,
full
max
banners.
That's a good point. Okay. Now his first unique. I think this is where we'll find out how to become unleashed. So it's a Zeta ability. Starkiller has 30% crit chance, counter chance, defense penetration, and offense, and he is immune to fear.
Okay, cool.
So he's always going to be hitting harder, countering, and defending better than he does just from his, based off his stats. Okay. Starkiller gains 4 stacks of force energy, which will max out at 100 stacks, each time he deals damage to an enemy. Increase to 5 stacks on a critical hit. At 100 stacks, he loses all stacks of forced energy and gains unleashed until the end of the battle. When Starkiller gains unleashed, he gains 70% counter chance, crit chance, defense penetration, and offense.
So he just ups those stats to 100%.
Right. So once he becomes unleashed,
mm-hmm.
full counter chance,
mm-hmm.
full crit chance. So you don't even need to mod him for any crit chance if that's what you were worried about. A full defense doubling, and his defense penetration
mm-hmm.
gets doubled as well. Yeah.
And his offense.
That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Okay, other benefits from becoming unleashed
mm-hmm.
is that he dispels all debuffs on himself. I guess the initial unleashing.
Right.
He takes a bonus turn.
Okay.
That's big.
That is big.
His cooldowns are reset.
That's big.
And if there are no Galactic Legend allies, he gains the special ability Size Means Nothing.
Okay, so he can't use that. He doesn't have that unless there are no GLs. Okay.
Right. So if his team has no GLs and he becomes unleashed.
Yeah.
He becomes unleashed, takes a bonus turn, immediately uses Size Means Nothing to AoE stun and heal up squad and deal 80% max health damage.
Yep.
Pretty good turn of events there.
Okay. And that's just a Zeta. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So Becoming Unleashed is worth it.
Yeah.
And yeah, so he won't become so if you're fighting in Grand Arena and you become Unleashed, if that ability doesn't, the size means nothing, doesn't kill all the enemies, then he'll get to use the extra benefits.
Right.
But all these other moves, since you have to wait till he gets that ability to become Unleashed, I'm not sure you'll be using your Unleashed added benefits very often.
I mean, unless... I'm trying to think of, like... You'd basically be going up against a team, theoretically, that would take a while to chew through.
Right. Right.
So that you could use them.
Or maybe he'll be good at killing Galactic Legends.
That's what I'm wondering.
Okay, second unique.
Okay.
There's much conflict in you. Omicron ability.
So he has three?
Three, yes. Okay. And I think this is going to get crazy.
Okay. Awesome.
There's much conflict in you. At the start of battle, if there are no Galactic Legend allies, so it's okay if the enemy's up. Oh. And Starkiller has exactly one Jedi,
mm-hmm.
one light side unaligned Force user, one Sith, and one other dark side unaligned Force user ally. All awesome. Allies gain the following bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
All allies will gain 100% crit damage and 100% max health, 35 speed, 100% max protection until the first time Starkiller is defeated, and your entire team is immune to daze and stun.
Okay. He counts as an ally, so he gains that himself as well.
He does.
And plus his 30% bonuses that he's getting at the start.
And this isn't a leadership.
He doesn't have a leadership, does he?
He doesn't have a leadership. So his entire awesome kit here, you can apply to one of your favorite leaders.
Right.
That you only need, like... the other people on the squad that can still fit this text we just read,
mm-hmm.
you could have a Jedi leader that you've been wanting to, like a General Kenobi or a Sith leader. You could still have Palpatine. So him, Palpatine, Mara Jade as the other dark side unaligned Force user.
Right.
And then a Jedi and Rey. And now you've got a perfect squad here. So this Omicron will...
Actually, but not Galactic Legend Rey.
Right. Not Galactic Legend Rey. Would have to be no Galactic Legends.
Oh.
And this is... Everything we just read was not part of the Omicron yet. So just by having this ability unlocked and built up to Omicron, and you fulfill the squad requirements... you'll double your survivability with the protection and health. 100% crit damage and 35 speed boosted to all of your stats.
Visas is an unaligned Force user. I'm trying to think of who's light side unaligned Force user other than Kat and the Rays.
Yeah. There aren't many.
Visas, Rays, one of which you can't use, Kat. I think that's it. And then you have Commander Luke, the Kylos, Maul.
Yeah, yep. Okay, now the Omicron section.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good. Final Omicron for that unique that we just read, that while in Grand Arenas, if you met the conditions for this ability at the start of battle, so you got your one Jedi, Sith, your two unaligned Force users, you meet these conditions, then you also gain these bonuses in Grand Arena. At the start of battle, Jedi tank allies taunt for one turn.
Okay.
All allies have another plus 35 speed. So that's a plus 70 speed in Grand Arena, not counting whatever leadership bonuses you've got going on.
Okay.
Debuffed enemies will deal 50% less damage. So it's not an offense down. That's not a debuff. Mm-hmm. Just they will be dealing 50% less damage of whatever all the other math computes out. Whenever a Sith ally uses a basic ability, Starkiller will assist.
Whenever a Sith ally uses a basic ability, yeah.
So when Palpatine uses his basic and gets 95% turn meter because of his lead.
Yeah.
Starkiller is assisting every time.
Yeah.
Okay. Whenever another dark side unaligned force user uses a special ability, all allies gain critical hit immunity for one turn.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay. Okay. So Maul. Maul uses a ton of special abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, it's going to make us all look up and remember who these unaligned force users are.
It really is.
Up to now, not a big deal. You know what squads the couple go on. How to use for them.
I hate mismatch squads. It fries my brain.
And then lastly, whenever Starkiller uses a special ability, light side healer allies have their cooldowns reduced by 4.
Yeah, you're going to want visas. Sorry.
No, you're good. She revives too, doesn't she?
She does, yeah. And she has defense penetration.
So that's why they talk about the first time Starkiller does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so when he uses a special ability, light side healer allies have their cooldowns reduced by 4, and Jedi tank allies gain damage immunity and taunt for one turn. So you throw your useless Mace Windu on this squad, and every time Starkiller uses an ability, he's going to get damage immunity and taunt.
Yeah.
So yep. Starkiller has a better use for Mace than Galactic Legend Master Kenobi.
And Zareth just pointed out in chat that if you put Vader there and use Merciless Massacre, Starkiller's going to assist every time. Just basic with Vader.
Yeah, that's pretty good too.
And on Starkiller's assist, his basic is still hitting twice. He's just not inflicting shock.
Right.
Because his basic hits twice, so he should hit twice, right?
Right. Just no added effects. But if he's unleashed, he'll still start reducing his cooldowns.
This is nuts.
That's a pretty impactful character.
Okay, so you want visas with him, though. Light side healer?
I'd say she's a good one. But there's a lot of others that are good. You could use...
If you were to do a Jedi instead of her, I don't think there are
Jedis. It needs to be a light side unaligned. That's yeah. Right. Okay, it has to be unaligned. Man, I was hoping to throw some Ewoks in there.
I don't think you're going to get to do that. I mean, you can. Let me know how it works. In like 6 months, and
Ewok Elder, man, he needs a comeback. He needs a big comeback.
That's
okay. So light side healer, unaligned force users.
I mean, it could be a light side healer that's a Jedi, but I can't think of a Jedi that's a healer as well. Is Barriss a healer? No.
Barriss is, yes.
Okay, so Barriss theoretically.
Barriss
could be your light side Jedi healer.
Illuminara.
Right. right?
No, there's a bunch of mishmash opportunities that we got here.
Just take the scraps and call it a day.
Yeah. Luminara Unduli.
Yep.
Is she a Jedi? Mar.
Yeah. She shouldn't be, yeah. But
and Barriss would work. Jedi Consular. You could throw a Jedi Consular, build him up for his shit, and now he's got a use.
No. Don't do that. I mean, he's got a ship. He's a pilot.
He's got a good heal. He'll heal every time. That's cool. Okay. I like these kits. Every character they've come out with has been pretty sweet. Okay. So I'm looking at the list of unaligned force users.
Yes.
Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum.
Right. Forgot about her.
Light side unaligned force user.
Okay. I don't see that being worthwhile.
Commander Luke, like you mentioned. And then Visas. Yeah. So Visas and Ahsoka Tano Fulcrum are your only real options.
Mm-hmm. And you want a Jedi tank, I think.
Scavenger Rey. I'd be happy with Scavenger Rey being on the squad. She doesn't really help out the other resistance teams much.
Right.
She could do well. And then, yeah, you want a Jedi tank. So with the Jedi tank.
So Mace, Plo, GK, Old Ben.
Plo's a tank. Plo would be good. Plo would be a good one.
Plo is a tank.
Jedi Knight Guardian? Hey.
Oh, gosh. How could I forget about that? Yeah.
Juhani. Now, that's a realistic one.
Okay.
Juhani or Kanan.
Yeah.
Some of your Phoenix.
So there's options there without going too crazy.
Right.
Into your other squads.
Right.
Theoretically.
Right.
I don't know if they're like prime options, but.
Old Ben. That'd be a good one.
Old Ben would be a good one.
Man. And if we've had to build them up for one of these characters.
Yeah.
Old Ben be good. Yeah, this is cool. This is fun. This is going to make some good theory crafting.
I don't see how you don't put Visas there.
I think you're right.
A Jedi tank.
Visas would be awesome. Yeah. Visas fits perfectly with Starkiller.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one.
Just because if you're having a Jedi tank, then the only option for light side healer would have to fit that unaligned force user category.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I look forward to using Visas. I've always wanted to build her up. Now I have a good incentive to.
I wailed on her when they announced the Sith raid. I was like, this is going to be bad. No regrets. Still use her.
What? When do you ever use her?
On the blue moon when I hit the raid, when I don't tag a zero. I'm like, I'm going to throw her in here, P1.
She doesn't help with anything.
She totally helps.
On to our Bantha in the room / that's no moon.
Yeah, this is big.
We'll see how long we decide to talk about it.
Yeah.
We got through the kits pretty quick.
We did.
Okay. State of the galaxy. It'll be hard not to say Gearlixy.
State of the Galaxy
of November 2021. Top headline is that Squad Arena
mm-hmm.
is going to have crystals ripped out of it.
They're gone.
Only useful for the little currency you can get. And yep. Buying new gear that they've stuck there. Not new top tier gear.
No, it's just low level. Yeah. I looked at it today and I was like, I don't need any of this.
Yeah, they decided that Squad Arena is going to be part of your building up phase, the early game.
Right. Which kind of makes sense, but
it does. I'm happy with that.
Okay.
I think it's great. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm not gonna be coy about how I feel. I'm like 100 out of 10 stars.
We like this change, like both of us, which is hilarious because neither of us like love Grand Arena, but we're both like, this is good.
Yeah. I think I will love it now.
Right?
I think I had early enthusiasm for the game mode.
Yeah, me too.
When they made it a championship and nerfed all the rewards, I lost enthusiasm.
Oh, I just got too competitive.
And the repetitiveness made it like every day I was having to log on and fight.
Right.
When I'm already spending 2 hours in my arenas.
Right. That's the big thing.
Yeah. But now you'll save time. If you were doing both game modes before, all your time, if you spent an hour or so on Squad Arena, spend it in Grand Arena.
I spent regularly 2 hours on Squad Arena alone, not including Fleet Arena, 2 hours to climb. Because my arena is so volatile. I can climb to one or two, whichever night it is for that spot, and I will wake up the next day in the 50s.
Yeah. And then you need refreshes.
Yeah, and then I need a refresh.
It's horrible. That entire game mode has been horrible from the beginning.
Yep.
And I'll try to be nice, but anyone that's complaining about losing this game mode, they've done well at compensating with crystals in the new system.
Yeah, really even well.
Even if they didn't. Even if we were only going to get half the amount of crystals, as long as I don't have to do Squad Arena, I'm happy. It's been one of the worst things in this game since the beginning.
So this is the other thing that I was trying to explain to people, because the biggest thing that I've heard, and I don't know if you've heard this, is that Grand Arena will take up a lot of time versus Squad Arena, which granted, I understand if you're in a shard where you don't have to climb very far. Like I know people who, you know, fall to five and then do one battle and they take one again. But if you're not in that, I can do a full clear in Grand Arena in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not that long. And then when you look at the average crystals, like, cause like what you were saying is they're giving us these crystals now in Grand Arena. If you look at the average crystals, they're dividing it by 35 days because we have 4 weeks of Grand Arena and 1 week off. So it's 35 days. We're still going to get daily crystals on the off days of Grand Arena. So during that 7 day period. So you average out the crystals because the crystals aren't going to be the same every single day, right? There's going to be prize boxes released and all this. So if you average out your total crystals across those 35 days, that's how you get the average crystals per day. But out of those 35 days, there are only 12 days that you actually have to attack. 12 days are attacking. So 12 days are your 2 hour arena climbs gone.
Right.
The other 12 days are your defense setup. There's 4 days where you just hit join.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole 7 days where you don't do anything.
Yeah.
So.
And when you do have to do your 45 minutes, it's better than the 2 hours you spent that day.
So if you spent 2 hours a day in Squad Arena, now you're spending 45 minutes, 12 days out of the 35 to do your attacks. If you scout and do all of that, maybe an hour. If you want to be super thorough, maybe a little bit longer. But like, let's call it an hour. Sure, that's still less time. Sure. And that's only 6 days out of 4 weeks because the 1 day a week, you're just hitting a join button.
Yeah. I mean,
that's way less time.
It is such a, like, my brain can't wrap itself around the idea that for the last 6 years of my life in which I've been slave to my phone and doing Squad Arena, that now I won't have to.
That's the other thing, is if you're busy, you can't get your payout.
Right. If anything comes up during the last 20 minutes, if you aren't, let's just go through some of the pros and cons.
Yeah, sorry. We're jumping all over the place.
No, you're good. You're good. I just thought of wanting a list. So I wanted to do a quick list here.
Okay,
so some of the pros that this change will bring about. Okay, wait. I'm doing this list on the fly. Okay. Some of the cons that are going away now.
Okay.
So if you ever went out of town to a different time zone.
Yep. Did that last week.
Yep. Mucks everything up.
Totally screwed.
So if you go to a different country, or you just go across the giant US or giant Canada countries, now it's whatever your payout time was before, now it's an inconvenient one. Whatever your day switch before, like I know my payout, once I was able to change it, I often would make like 9 p.m. or so on the West Coast. That way I was done with all my tasks for the day, family time, that, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
But then when I fly to the East Coast to visit family for holidays, now my payout's at midnight.
Yep.
And if I wanted to do my energy refreshes, that would be at 3 a.m. is that final energy refresh for the day.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say I just had a normal, like, started West Coast and I had a 5 o'clock payout. No. Let's say I started East Coast and had a 5 o'clock payout.
Yeah.
Now, if I went to the West Coast, I'd have a 2 o'clock payout. Very inconvenient.
So I had last week, the week before, it's 2 weeks ago. I was out of town for a wedding. So one day was travel. The next day was the wedding. The next day was running around and, you know, mingling all of these like family events. The next day was travel. So there were 4 days right there where I did not get to do my grand or my Squad Arena.
Mm.
And I was all over anywhere between like 19 and 45.
Right.
So that's massive.
Right. And now, before, you didn't get to do your Squad Arena because you're in the air when the time you need to play is, or it's 2 a.m. at the time when you need to play.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you've got a full 24-hour window to take your 30 minutes to an hour to do Grand Arena Championship to get your payout.
Right.
Before, it was tied to a specific time, 1 to 2 hours.
Right.
Now, you get to the hotel after traveling to a wedding. You're about to go to bed. You got 30 minutes. Let's knock this out.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I've been in the air during that one time of day.
Or if you know that you have a busy day, you can be like, okay, I have half an hour in the morning and I'll have half an hour in the afternoon. Just like get it done, break it apart.
Right. Going off that, break it apart. Before, you had to concentrate all of your time during that hour with 10-minute interval breaks. And so you couldn't and if you tried to climb earlier in the day, somebody else who has a payout at a time earlier than yours is just going to knock you back.
Yep.
Or if you're part of some chat, they're like, what are you moving early for? Mm-hmm. Now you're in my way.
This also breaks apart like the chats that block players out.
Yes. So I was going to say, now you can take a bathroom break. You got 5 minutes. Bathroom break. You got 5 minutes. Let's knock one of our battles out. And you've made progress for your 24-hour window.
Right.
That you won't lose because you did it too early or too late.
Right. Or you don't get the error of like, oh, you're currently being battled or someone else is battling the squad you're trying to battle and you have to sit there and wait to go back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like you said about the mafias, the shard mafias.
Mm-hmm.
Before, only one person is allowed to get first for each hour of the day. So around the globe, there's only 24 people within an arena.
Right.
That gets to take first.
Right.
And if there are three people that have decided that they deserve first at this pivotal East Coast or West Coast America time slot, and they've already made an agreement that they don't want to have to share or rotate with anybody else, so they're going to do everything in their power to keep you from ever getting top five. For you, your crystal payout has already been drastically lower than these complaints about, well, I was getting first every day without having to do any refreshes.
Well, and I mean, I understand it if you are in a position where you're now in a division or a league where your average crystals per day would be less than 500 because your GP is lower. Mm-hmm. And you were getting first in your arena every day. I understand that a little bit, but the majority of us are going to be getting more than 500, theoretically.
Yes. And it gives you incentive to grow your roster.
Yes, this is rewarding roster growth.
Like, they've made a lot of changes to make it easier to grow early on.
Yeah.
So if you are in a position where you aren't in Kyber 1 and you don't get to start off in these great league and divisions,
mm-hmm.
you have the ability to climb to get to where you would be getting as much crystals as you have been in your baby arena.
Yeah.
Because if you are that good with a small roster, then you aren't going to stay in Chromium 5.
Right. You're going to go up. You will hit a ceiling.
Right.
The same way, alternatively, people have been arguing, oh, I'm bad at Grand Arena. Well, you will also hit a floor if you fall. Like, there will hit a point where it doesn't matter. You will win.
And in fact, it's good if you are a big fish in your tiny arena right now.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause let's say you start off in like a bronzium or something because of your low, wide GP range.
Okay.
Then you should be more likely to win your first couple months of Grand Arena.
Right.
Which, if you go undefeated for a season, you're going to get way more crystals than these averages they're posting.
Yeah, absolutely. And the first couple of months, because the initial breakdown is all based off all of our GPs. So the first couple of months is going to be figuring out the actual win-loss ratio now. And mm-hmm. the ranking is going to be sorting itself out as we win and lose, right? If you win, you climb the ladder. If you lose, you fall down. And mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing that people are going to have to wrap around their brains is that you will lose, and then you will win again, and then you will lose, and then you will win again. And like, it's going to be this back and forth. It's not going to be just a straight climb.
Right.
It might be a straight climb initially if you're a smaller GP, like you said, and really efficient. And if you're a larger GP and not efficient, then it could be a fall for you initially.
Right.
Until, you know, that kind of system gets regulated.
But I'd say for everyone involved, so even if you are in a middle GP range,
mm-hmm.
by not having to spend crystals to refresh,
mm-hmm.
you've got to be still ending up ahead in the long run. Even if you're in Chromium 1 or something, you've got to be ending up better. Once you factor in the crystals you're saving from having to spend each day.
Right.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I can't wait.
It's going to be, I think, pretty good. I think.
And it might have even been better. Like, I'm glad they included the average per day over the season, the max per day over the season.
Mm-hmm.
But if you forget about those and look at the other numbers that they've put here.
Right.
So Kyber 1, not everyone's going to be Kyber 1, but a lot of the people that have played for 6 years will. So I'll be in Kyber 1.
Right. I'm in Kyber 2.
Okay. So each day, doing nothing,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get a 240 crystal daily prize.
Yep. I got it at my squad arena payout today.
No way.
Yep. Came. So I got my squad arena tokens, like as if you were getting your arena payout, right, just no crystals. Right. And then I got a separate thing to my inbox of 240 crystals.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like grand arena daily prize. I'm like, thank you very much. And I did one arena battle.
So you would have had to make top 10 to get that.
Yeah. And I finished in 37.
Is it top 10? Let's see.
Is it? Do you want me to check?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. So let's see. First was 500.
I'll check.
Third was 400.
Third's 450.
Fifth would be.
So to get 240.
300.
Yeah, oh, I can't check. They took the crystals out.
Right. But no, I think I did the quick math. So top 10 would get you 250 crystals.
Right.
Fifth place would get you 300 crystals.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So now you and I, for doing nothing, are getting what you would for top 10.
Yep.
Every day.
Yep.
How is that not better? How is that not better than what we have been doing? Take away all the other crystals that they're going to throw at us for competing in Grand Arena Championships.
Right.
And now we get half of our max rewards we could have gotten before mm-hmm. for doing nothing.
Yeah.
Hands not down. Bad. Yeah.
It's great. I did one and then I completely forgot to do, not that I forgot, but like I got busy and I was doing other stuff. I'm like, doesn't even matter because there's no crystals. So I'm not going to stress over it.
Right.
It was fine.
And now in this new system, when you fight in a GAC mm-hmm. and you work hard to beat a round, so you barely beat a player or they don't care to participate much.
Right.
If I beat them in Kyber 1, I get 900 crystals.
Yeah.
Just for winning that one round. Doesn't matter how I've done the rest of the season. Doesn't matter how I do in that entire week. But right. I win one round. 900 crystals.
Yeah.
Spread that out over the 2 days that I had to set defenses and attack. That's an extra 450 each day on top of the 260 I'm already getting.
Right.
Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
If I lose at where I'm at, anyone in Kyber, if they lose, they still get 200 crystals.
Right. So you're still getting a little pity
right.
reward.
So let's say you decided you don't want to participate. Now you like to do it now. Okay. Let's say I still don't care much and it doesn't motivate me to play in Grand
mm-hmm.
Arena.
Mm-hmm.
For Kyber 1, this week that we have Grand Arena, I set my defenses, don't touch it, and I lose. For those 2 days, I'm still getting 360 crystals each day for doing right. nothing.
Right.
So now that's a fourth daily grand squad arena ranking that I would have had to get to right. equate to what I'm getting now.
Right.
For doing nothing.
Yep.
On top of that, for the week, I'm going to get another 100 crystals. So now I'm close to 400 for each of these days.
Right.
Now, maybe I didn't do that math right. Either way, it puts me up further. So now I'm getting close to the top 3 ranking of Squad Arena for having to do nothing.
So if you lose, if you do nothing and you're in Kyber 1, you get 200 crystals. So let's just do it for the week. You get 200 crystals for the three matches you lose. So 600.
Yep.
You'll get 100 when the week is over. So you're at 700. You're getting two, that's on top of 260 each day.
Yeah. So 7 divided by 7 is another 100 each day.
Right?
Yeah. So about 360 each
day. So you're getting about 360 a day.
For doing nothing.
And then at the end of the season, so at the end of the 4-week Grand Arena, there's a massive payout of crystals.
Yep.
So...
That was a scenario in which you do nothing. So let's say you're fighting someone else who likes to do nothing. You decide to put a little effort and win one of your rounds.
Mm-hmm.
I've just upped my intake by another 700. So that for the week of Grand Arena, daily intake is now 460. As though I've gotten second each day.
Right, because you've now gotten a prize for winning one and then losing two. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Just winning one round. Oh, it's even better than that. Because at the end of the event, at the end of the week,
mm-hmm.
for getting seventh place, I'll get another 150 crystals. So more than that. Okay. So it sounds like, if our rough math is correct, me and Kyber won. If I win one round of Grand Arena each week, it'll be about getting first place for Squad Arena.
Yes, because in Kyber 1, to break even, as if you were getting first place, you need to go 4 wins, 8 losses in a season. So you literally need to win one time per week.
Like,
I need to go in Kyber 2. I need to go 6-6. So I need to win 2.
Yeah.
It's kind of like win 2, lose 2. It's, I need to go 6-6. I need to win half of my matches over 4 weeks to break even.
Yeah. So if you're a heavily invested whale who is complaining that you only had to do one battle each day before to get first in Squad Arena because you always whaled on the next Galactic Legend.
Right.
Your roster is going to be 7 million GP at least.
Right.
You're going to be in Kyber 1 right now.
Yeah.
You're getting what you were getting before.
The only thing that you're going to want to keep in mind is that at the end of each week is when your division, so the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's when that can shift. So if you're in the bottom 10% of your division, you will move down to the lower one. And if you're in the top 10%, you move up to the lower one. So that's how the ranking is going to, you know, fluctuate. But so you could theoretically, when you hit that ceiling, be in an area where you will fluctuate between divisions. And that's just a case of building your roster to get over that hump, right?
Right.
But if you hover in the middle, which is where I think most people are going to end up hovering.
Right.
I don't know if we're going to. I feel like the first month is going to be interesting, but I don't think we're going to notice a huge.
Right. No, I don't think that 10% is going to be something you're worrying about. Like if you're trying and you win 2 out of 3 matches for the week, you're safely in the middle.
Right.
Because if you're getting 2 out of 3, then someone else is only getting 1 out of 3.
Right. The other things to keep in mind, it just reminded me when you said 2 out of 3, we will have to join like how we were joining before for Grand Arena. So you will have to hit join on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
And if you forget to join, you obviously are losing your matches that week. So you're still sliding down the ladder, but they give you a forgiveness. So you'll get, it's like you went 2 or 1-2. It's like you won 1. Or yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. How often did they set a time? Was that part of the Q&A?
That was in the Q&A. Yeah.
Yeah. That's very intriguing. So I'm going to say, don't bank on that for now.
Yeah. So like there is like a little bit of a forgiveness factor in there, but like you will fall, like you will fall in rankings. So if you intentionally don't join, and also right. like if you don't join, I don't think you get like the weekly rewards. I think you would still get your daily one when you get your
right.
squad.
I think you would. Yeah, I think
right.
You would.
But you're not gonna get like they're not gonna give you the crystals for winning when you didn't join, or for losing when you didn't join.
Right. Which I mean, that's on you if you don't join.
Right.
I've done it before. And it's my fault if I don't join.
Right. Just set an alarm.
Right. But I don't know for sure, but I think if you're doing one win each week,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be in the bottom 10%.
I think it's all going to, I mean, I think the first couple of months, everything's going to fluctuate while people are, because you're going to have the people who have always been really competitive in Grand Arena going all out, and you're going to have the people who are kind of like shaking the dust off, getting back into it, and then you're gonna have people in the middle, and everyone's going to kind of be finding their flow, and the ranking will actually be fluctuating the most, I think, in these right. first initial months. And then once that's set, I don't think there's going to be drastic changes.
Right.
Unless, but, you know, someone quits or you spend a lot of money and get a new character or whatever.
Right, right. But to drop a division or a league,
mm-hmm.
you have to be in the bottom 10%.
Right.
So out of 12 battles, because that's how many you'll have within one season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So out of 12 battles, there's probably the bottom 10%. Are winning just one of the 12, maybe two of the 12.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've won four of the 12, I think you're safely not in the bottom 10%.
Yeah, I think the other thing to keep in mind is how many people are going to be in those divisions initially.
Well, I don't know if that matters, because it's still
a ladder. Yeah.
Like, let's say you have 10,000 people in a division instead of 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's those people pitted against each other, it's still going to be one person getting 12 out of 12, one person getting 0 out of 12.
Right.
There's still going to be the same number, just, or the same ratio of people
right.
in the bottom 10%, because they only won 1 out of 12.
Right.
So whether you expanded each of these pools to 100,000 players or 1,000 players, it's still going to be the same number of wins over the season
mm-hmm.
equates to where you are in the bottom 10% or not, probably.
Right. The only thing that would matter is if you're consistently in the bottom. If, like, I would think if you're consistently in the bottom 10%, so say, let's use you and I as an example.
Sure,
say you and
sure.
I are consistently in the same, you know, pool, and I keep losing, if you all of a sudden figure something out with the strat and you start winning more, there's a chance where you're going to push me down more, that you could theoretically bump me, because you would, let's say, climb up, bump someone down, that pushes me out. Does that make sense?
If I pushed you out, yes, I would have to be replacing somebody at the top.
Exactly. So if you climbed enough that you were to theoretically climb to 11%, and that person at 11% was sucking, and you bumped them down, and I was at the bottom of the 10%, you pushed me down.
Yes. Good point. Good point. But in order for me to do that, my win rate out of those 12 battles will have to increase.
Yes.
And the person that I beat, there specifically, is going to go down.
Right.
So if you're still getting 4 out of 12.
But let's say I'm not. Was my argument.
Right. Okay, yeah. So if you're getting 1 or 2 out of 12,
mm-hmm.
there's a good chance you're going to drop in the bottom 10%.
Right, because if you're climbing and pushing people down, and I'm also going right. down because I'm losing for whatever reason.
But if I do better and you're still getting your 3 or 4 wins,
then I should hover.
Right. Right. It'll be somebody else getting pushed down.
Right. Like theoretically, I would hover. Theoretically, right, the idea that they said in the Q&A was theoretically everyone will eventually get balanced to be going 6-6.
Which will be more than what your, most likely more than what your current daily intake for Squad Arena is.
Right.
At least for everybody in Kyber.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. I'm not mad.
So, well, it sounds like they're doing their best to make it equal change of crystals given out. At least. But for much less work needed in the game on a regular basis. Like, I can't tell you how happy I am about this change.
Yeah.
It actually is... and it actually makes Grand Arena worth it.
It does. And I mean, so I understand the hesitancy because people don't like change. We've been playing the game for 6 years. So 6 years, every single day you climbed an arena to get your crystals, and now that's changing. Right. And it's a big deal, especially when you haven't been playing Grand Arena.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to be as bad as people are expecting it to be. And I say that as somebody who is a casual Grand Arena player.
Yeah. 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 I greatly look forward to it. I don't think anyone will be blindsided with whether they got bottom 10% or not.
Right.
Because like you'll get, like, even if everybody starts upping their game,
right,
it, you'll be upset that you've been trying hard, but you'll notice, like, I've only won one game this entire time. I'm definitely going to fall down.
Well, this is the other thing, is you now are tying your crystals to this game mode where, so, okay, in Squad Arena, I would climb. So yesterday, for instance, I started in 47 and I climbed to 1. So I had to buy a refresh, and I climbed through every single, the exact same squad of Jedi Master Kenobi, Kat, Ahsoka, Gas, GK. The exact same squad every single time. I did 7 battles in 2 hours to get to 1.
Right, right.
Whereas now I'm going to do 11 battles, 11 different battles.
Right.
That I now can never go into. It's not the same lineup, but I now can go into territory wars and say, hey, I've actually been practicing my counter on, I've been practicing using my Bad Batch against General Grievous squad. So I'm going to use my Bad Batch this territory war.
Right.
Now you can help your guild win, get R9 mats, get the droid brains, get the rewards. You're getting the core gear box, which means you're building your roster, which means you're, it's just like this vicious cycle, which means you're going to do better in territory battles because your roster is built better. You're going to do better in Grand Arena. You're going to do better. It's everywhere. You're right. Going to do better in Conquest. Everyone's favorite game mode. But like, it's just going to spiral.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Not
going back.
Not mad.
Go ahead.
No, yeah, I'm just, yeah. I'm not mad.
Yeah. Going back to our pros and cons list that we're making up.
Right.
Con before, new character comes out, new Galactic Legend comes out. Squad Arena meta is what everyone cares about.
Right.
So if this character doesn't affect that,
dingo. Right.
For those that do invest, say somebody else hasn't invested as much, or they're a couple weeks behind, they now heard it many times, and many people have followed through. People will quit the game or say, if I can't get my daily crystals without having to do 20 matches hoping for good RNG, because this one guy has this new tune that I don't have yet.
Right.
It's now weeks or months of hating the game and not getting the crystals you need.
Well, so to use an example, I have a very volatile shard in the sense that I will fall to the 50s, but yeah. I also have a very friendly shard, and my payout hour is only shared with one person, and there's one person behind us, and they are the friendliest guys in the world. And for, I think it was almost, I can't even remember how long Kenobi was out before I got him, but I was struggling in arena. Right. They would both climb ahead of me. So including the guy whose payout was an hour after mine, because I wasn't going to make it, you know, past top 10. If I got to 10, I was happy. But they would both climb ahead of me and deliberately leave a path so that I could hop behind them. And then I would just land in 10 and I was happy. So that is the case where now, okay, maybe you don't get the new shiny tune, so you can't play with it in Grand Arena right away. But how many other people don't have that you're facing?
Right. Or even if you do, your crystal intake, even your ability to win a single Grand Arena round, which has 11 matches, not just one, you can strategize.
Yeah.
Your worth in the game is not dependent upon whether you have the latest squad meta.
Yeah, exactly.
Before, you are getting top 10, rank 1 week. Next week, you're back in 50, can't do anything. Useless to these high-end guilds, because now you don't have the character they need in Territory War.
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't have the crystals to keep up with the refreshes that you have to do. Now, if one single tune or even a whole squad comes out, that's one of your offensive or defensive Grand Arena teams out of 22. It's not going to be the end of the world.
Yeah. So I will say an actual con and.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of the new changes.
Okay.
But I mean, this isn't specific to Grand Arena, because this was happening in Squad Arena as well, is you're going to have cheaters. I don't think it's going to be super prevalent, but it's going to be something that they're going to have to address more than they have been in the past.
So I've heard that argument, and I'm not the most informed. So I might be off base. So it's fine if people correct me.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I can tell, this is going to be much better for the cheater problem.
Mm-hmm.
Before, there was zero way of tracking cheaters in Squad Arena.
Right. You would just have to report them when you saw them.
You would just have to guess that they were cheating.
Right. And by report them, I mean the obvious cheaters. You know, where you see purple at the top of your Galactic Legend shards.
Right. But it would still not be proven, because you didn't see them fight. You don't know what strategy they're using.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody complains about people that beat them cheated to do so. So you also don't have a lot of credibility when you complain. But with Grand Arena and being able to go and look at the people, what they used to defeat you on SWGOH.GG, that made it so that immediately tons of cheaters were rooted out of the game.
Right.
There was one that I had to deal with in my Shard Mafia for years. Worst guy to deal with by everybody in all time zones. We all hated having to deal with him. Turns out he was cheating big time in Grand Arena. Didn't know his history. Nobody knew their history was going to be posted all of a sudden.
Oh.
And so he got banned.
Yeah.
And haven't had to deal with him since.
Yeah. So I don't know the specifics of it, because obviously I don't cheat. If I did, I would have a much better record. But what they have said is they're obviously implementing new, you know, like the typical being vague, we're implementing new tracking mechanisms and all this kind of stuff. And I will say, in their defense, that they have to be vague in this area, because if they tell you what they're going to do, then you know what to do.
It enables more cheaters.
Exactly. Yeah. right? So you have to be purposely vague here. I think though what they will actually need to do is follow through on their word of, if you're caught cheating, there's going to be severe punishments. Like at that point, not only do you need to punish the player for cheating, but you also need to compensate the player that was cheated against, right? So that they're going to have to figure out a way to correct that, because not only did I now lose out on crystals, but that affected my ranking in the ladder. So did that affect my crystals after the fact? Like, how long do I have to wait to be compensated?
Right.
Is this like a, you know, within the week kind of thing, or are you going to have to fix this a month later?
Right. Well, okay. Do you think that, so we're asking them to fix a cheating problem.
Right.
That theoretically we're still having to deal with in Squad Arena.
Right.
So moving the crystals doesn't change the problem, nor does it change your ability, your having to deal with it, having it steal crystals from you. It could be happening in your Squad Arena.
Oh, totally.
So that's not, I don't see how that is related to this change.
Yeah.
That's a problem within the game.
It's a problem within the game.
That affects crystals.
I think it's, and I don't know because I don't know all the details behind cheating, but I think it's easier to cheat in Grand Arena and not get caught than it is in Squad Arena, which sounds weird.
I don't think so. I see how people could think that, but when you can look specifically at the teams that beat you online,
right,
you have a much better ability to see what is more skeptical of a win,
right,
than you do in Squad Arena.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting either way.
Yeah.
It's definitely something I think that people will be keeping an eye on.
Yes.
So.
And maybe with this change, it'll make it so more cheaters get found out because more people are caring about the game mode.
Right.
Yeah.
Because chances are, if you have a cheater in Squad Arena, they're probably not in your shard chat, if you're in a shard chat. So you could theoretically still get your crystals if your shard chat is helping you and like blocking them out. But in Grand Arena, it's one-on-one, so.
Yeah. So it sounds like we're both excited about these changes.
Yeah. I'm not upset. We were asked in chat, Zareth asked if both of us will be playing Grand Arena now.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I have been playing.
I haven't been. But now with the change, I am happy to. Like, not only will I do it, but I'm happy to.
Yeah. This is also refreshing to me because I'm sure people might not believe me on this, but when Grand Arena first came out, like very, very, very first iteration of it, CG was like, oh, like be the best player in the game, like get to the top of the leaderboard. And then we got like a few iterations of it. And I was like, this isn't really the top of the leaderboard. This is just the top of your little grouping that you've been cast in forever. It's not actually the top of the leaderboard. It's not a true ranking.
Right.
And now this is more of a true ranking system.
Right. Even when they made Grand Arena Championship and helped further fulfill that idea of becoming best in the game, you were still only best at your GP level.
Exactly.
But now we really will get to see who is the best in the game, regardless of GP level. Because if your top 40 characters are just as good as somebody else's top 40, then it's strategy at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Can you outsmart them?
Right.
Which is where, like, people are who haven't been playing Gran Arena and don't like Gran Arena are going to have to kind of brush up on.
Yeah. No, I'm going to be happy to do Gran Arena because the time that I'll be saving from Squad Arena, I'll feel so much better putting into Gran Arena.
Yeah, totally agree with you.
And I'm pretty sure, and this is a big deal that I forgot to mention, it no longer matters what your score is at the end of a round, at the end of a season. The only thing that matters is whether you win or lose.
Right. Which is interesting.
So if you set some stacked defenses so that you win every round, but you don't necessarily full clear, but you made sure that you cleared more than your opponent, before, you were killing yourself. Now you're not going to get Kyber.
Right.
You might as well set nothing on defense or just trash tunes and just go all out on offense to get the highest banners you can.
Right.
Because each banner translated directly into score for your leaderboard.
Right. So, and now, like, you still will have that, but it doesn't directly relate. It's just a tally if you win.
Right. It all that matters is that you have more banners than your opponent that day.
Right. Exactly. Then you get the win, you get the tick.
Right.
And, you know, go to the next one.
I could set a super stacked defense first round of the week.
Yeah.
Set a weak defense the last round of the week. Win both, but end up with a lot of banners the last one, few banners the first one.
Right.
Both give me the same amount of crystals for winning.
Right.
That's Which big.
Interesting. That's going to be another thing to wrap brains around.
Right. Because one of the biggest criticisms before was that you couldn't be a defensive player because that just pushes you behind everyone else that has decided they're going to be offensive with their setup.
Right.
But now you can change your whole strategy. You can front load with all your Galactic Legends and just hope your enemy didn't front load.
I think that's a bad strategy, but you could.
We shall see, Sarah, when you and I go up against each other.
It will depend on how many what's the difference? If you have six Galactic Legends and I have five, there's going to be four in the top and four in the bottom. So you can either go 3-3. Or you can go 4-2. If I only set two of my Galactic Legends and save three, I can get through one of your walls.
Yes, you can get through one.
Right.
But where would you have set your other Galactic Legends?
I mean, I'd have to think about that. But if I set my Galactic Legends and now all of yours are on defense, what are you using to get through mine? If you don't have Star Kill, right? Like that's the issue. If I put two and I keep three, you either go 3-3 or you go 4-2. Either way, right. I'm getting through a wall.
So you get through one wall, but one of your two paths
is blocked.
But the other one that's not blocked, I'll be able to equate the wall that you broke by getting through your non-Galactic Legend walls.
What if you...
Because I'll still be able to fight your non-Galactic Legends.
Right.
I just won't have anything to compete against your Galactic Legends.
What if I split them? What if I go 1-1?
Okay, if you split them, then I only have one Galactic Legend I need to defeat.
Right. So you could Zerg it.
To equate you. Yeah.
But then if you're Zerging it, you're getting fewer points.
But points don't matter as long as I can clear more zones.
But how are you clearing more zones? If you Zerg one zone and you, that means you're clearing the front one and the one behind it, and I get through right. your one front zone and the one behind it. If I one shot it, I should get more points than you zerging my one zone. That's my point. Like, that's where the strategy comes in. So now I win.
You okay?
That's where the strategy comes in.
Not to drag this out too much. Okay, okay. Let's take it one more step. Okay, so I've put 3 and 3.
Okay.
You put 1 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
I zerged your 1 and mm-hmm. got through your top.
Mm-hmm.
You used 3 of your 6 or 5 to defeat my top.
Right.
Now I've still got 3 Galactic Legends on bottom that you have to defeat. You only have 1.
Right.
So I can defeat your non-Galactic Legends so that there's only 1 team undefeated on that one.
You could.
Whereas you'll still have likely 2 Galactic Legends undefeated on my bottom.
You could. But would it be enough?
Before, it would have hurt both of us. But now this is actually a plausible strategy.
It's something that people are going to have to think about.
You just wait, Sarah. I'm going to win doing that. It'll work, okay? And it'll take the least amount of effort on my part.
It'll be fine. I'm sure. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Which brings us to our I Love You, I Know segment. We know it's easy to get jaded by this game, but with all these recent changes, how can you not be happy playing after 6 years? So let's talk about the things we enjoyed over the past week or two. Let's start mm-hmm. with you, Sarah.
Okay, so this is like brand new. This happened literally half an hour before we started streaming. We picked up a new star in Territory Battles today.
Hey!
Yeah, so we're on track for 29, maybe 30.
So we picked up a new star, meaning we did all the stars in phase 1.
Yes, we did. That's 3, 3, 3. Yeah,
that's a big deal.
Yeah, which, like, if you go and look at our Territory Battle chat when you have a second, you'll see like how close it was. Like people were activating marquee characters that they hadn't activated and fluffing them, like just taking them as far up as they could. And so there's like a row of people deploying, and it's like 9,000, and then there's another like 16,000, like people just throwing in whatever they could to get to that star.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. I did see a couple announcements. Like, I saw one
with our Danimal was panicking. Like,
unlock any tunes that you haven't yet.
Yeah.
You leveled them up right now.
Well, there was one point where he had posted his Darth Talon. He's like, this is as high as I can't do anything else to her or whatever. He got her to gear 11. And I was like, you can slice her mods to 5A at the very least. Like, come on. That helps GP too. So yeah, we picked up a new star, which means we will get at least 29 this week, but I'm hoping we pick up another one tomorrow. It'll be a stretch, but if we do, that'd be cool.
Right.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
I like it. I'm okay. I'll say what I'm happy about
mm-hmm.
is that you guys decided that for Lightside TB, we're doing every single zone.
Yeah. No more freeloading.
Yeah, I hated that junk.
I hated it because it was so stressful of being like, okay, look, this is...
Stop attacking now.
Yeah, like you don't just touch. It's just so micromanaging, so...
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoy just letting it roll through. It's all good.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Yep. So I enjoyed that. I also enjoyed... past 2 weeks, probably the announcements. I like the announcements. I quit Squad Arena early.
Did you?
Like the last week, I haven't touched it really. And I'm like, I'll just get into the habit now of not messing with Squad Arena. And then noticed my daily crystals, like...
going down?
Yeah. And I'm like, they need to really come out with this new change already. I started too early. But no, it did make this past week nicer.
Yeah, it'll less be a stressful. Nice change.
Yeah, yeah. Before we never talk about this again, in case that happens, biggest con to these new changes.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with what the actual changes are, but that they have left Fleet Arena untouched.
Yes. We forgot about that.
What the heck?
So they did say in the Q&A, they did say that for now it is remaining untouched, which means that eventually they will probably do the same thing. The biggest issue is, it's kind of twofold in my opinion. One, there just aren't enough ships. We have a ton of capital ships. We don't have a ton of ships to field those capital ships with.
Right.
But two, what do you do now for fleet engagement, other than, like, realistically, what do you do? There's no raid. There's no, like.
That's a valid point, and I've heard that brought up. So it made me think about it. And what do you do for characters right now? Well, you got TB, Grand Arena, Raid, Squad Arena.
Conquest,
Territory War. Okay.
So assault the only battles ones, that you can sim.
Those don't count anymore. Events don't count. Events don't count. Those aren't a regular. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but fine.
Of these six.
Yeah.
The only two that don't involve ships are Conquest and say those again.
Raids.
Yeah, yeah. Conquest and Raids.
Yeah.
Conquest, with all the feats and stuff, I don't think we need ships. I love ships. I don't think we need ships in Conquest. They definitely do need to do a ship raid. But we still have Territory War, Grand Arena.
Right.
So it's not like ships will be useless.
No, absolutely not. I don't think that's the case. I just thought it was interesting that they're aware of that as a thing.
I'm glad. Because if they of those six game modes, if they add a raid for ships, maybe do something about ships in Conquest. I mean,
you could totally add ships to Conquest. Like, you could easily add. It doesn't need to be a whole sector. You can just have a mini boss. Make it a sector. You could make a sector, but you could also have like a mini, like you could make a mini boss, change the mini boss to ships.
True.
Or have a mini boss and then have a mini boss right before the boss and have them be ships. So you now have a mini boss in the middle and a mini boss at the end that are ships and then a boss.
Or what if they sprinkled ships in to the paths? So then you had to decide, do I stay on the hard path that's going to be squad, ship, squad, fleet?
Oh, okay.
Or do I not have the fleet to do that? So now I'm going to back out and go to just the character
nodes. And you only have access to the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they could sprinkle that in, make it harder by having fleet nodes. They could totally add it and it'd be just fine.
Yeah.
Because like, I get what you were saying, which isn't a bad idea. But I guess part of the argument against using fleets more, even though that makes it so that we don't have fleets as much, is that people will say they don't want to have to use fleets instead. Like, they want, if they're doing Conquest, they want to use their roster they've built up.
Right.
Not have to use a ship.
Part of that is ships.
Right. Like, I agree.
At the end of the day, part of your roster is your ships.
I agree.
People have preached since, you know, Fleet Arena got crystals in it that you should not be ignoring ships.
Right. I agree.
So.
But if they made it so that you had an option to not do ships, you just wouldn't have the same rewards because it's a choice. If you don't want to do ships, you don't get the same rewards.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are two questions that I didn't put into the sheet in Discord corner because they popped up after we started. First one is from Vox and King that says he's a huge Mara Jade fanboy, which I knew this.
Nice.
Besides Palpatine, where do you think she would best be used?
Mara Jade, so I think, is going to work well with the new
Starkiller.
Yeah.
I think she would too, because she's dark side. Yufu, whatever, just Sufu, whatever the word is too.
Unaligned force user. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, because other than that, I don't know. I mean, you could theoretically put her under a Vader lead, but do you really need to put her under a Vader lead? And then have Palpatine as the side, as an ally.
She could also go, let's see, she's not a Sith.
She's not a Sith, she's Empire.
She is Empire.
So.
If you limit her to Empire squads,
mm-hmm.
So I'd say she's probably best placed on Palpatine.
That's what I'm thinking.
Second best, because we already have unaligned force user squads. The characters we already have are needed in other squads.
Right.
She'll probably go well with Starkiller.
Right.
But you could totally put her... I think a Vader would go well. Because if Vader isn't always strong enough by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times I don't want to put him with Piet. Because I want Piet on a trooper squad. So Vader, after he does his initial merciless massacre.
Yeah.
The battle lasts longer than that. He's going to die, or some of your other characters are going to die.
Right.
With her, I don't think that'll be the case.
Yeah.
So with her putting all those debuffs on people,
mm-hmm.
Your team is going to have a lot more survivability.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
And the AoE stagger is going to pair so well with Vader's Force Crush.
Ooh, good point. Didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be real good. Yeah, I could see her under Vader too. I think either.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I would still lean towards Palpatine, but...
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All the built-in synergy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. And then Corbs says, Sarah, have you considered doing a new type of kit read? A drunk kit read would be fun and take a lot longer. We might have to try that. Or a speed kit read could be fun, where you take no time to understand anything and just speed through as fast as possible. I.e.
I like that.
I've never heard of this. It's doing something else. I'm confused, but it looks OP.
I think that.
Both could be fun.
We'll do it next time with the one we didn't read.
Yeah. The one that we skipped over to talk about Grand Arena. Yeah.
We'll do a 1 minute kit read.
Yeah. Exactly. Do we want to look at the rank and file? Because I feel like this is going to be the last time that we see a huge, if we see any shift. Right?
That's a good point.
Because now.
Oh man, they're dead. They'll be dead.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like a good point. That's right? Crazy. That's crazy. We shall see. We shall see.
It's okay. Be different.
That's crazy. Yeah, I wonder how many people are gonna focus on Squad Arena anymore. So for the meta report, last time, good thing we started this right before it ended. Is that last time Jedi Master Kenobi was at 77%.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's only at 76%.
He's only at 76.
So he went down.
1%.
Still a very high percentage of the pie.
Right.
Lord Vader is at 10%. I believe he was 8 last time.
Was he?
I think he was 8. Master Luke was 8. And Kenobi was 77.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he pulled 2%, one from Kenobi and one from Skywalker. That's what I think happened. So Lord Vaders are becoming more popular as more people unlock them, it seems. Then for the fleet meta report, Executor was at 72% last time, which is ridiculous. For him to almost be at the Jedi Master Kenobi level. Now he's at 74%. So he went up big.
Yeah.
So there's just a 2% difference between Kenobi and Executor in dominance of their arenas.
Right.
Negotiator is only at 14%. Malevolence at 10%.
Hmm.
The one lineup of Piet with the standard Razor Crest, Xanadu Blood, and Houndstooth is 72% of all rank one teams.
Right.
And then the next couple are 5% used teams. That's crazy.
That's the last one.
Well, we're still all going to be tied to our fleet for now.
Right.
But I hope that they do change it within the next 6 months to a year.
I'm sure they will. I mean, it's already on their radar to change it.
That's good. That's very good to hear. So. Very good to hear. And that should mean more crystals for all of us.
Theoretically.
For doing the same Grand Arena work we have been doing at that point.
Yeah.
So that'll be another good change. Depending on your perspective.
Yeah.
Last but not least, let's head to Uncle Owen's Moisture Farm to talk about who and what we're currently farming in-game. Because everyone knows work comes before going to Tashi Station to pick up power converters. So, yeah. How's it looking, Sarah?
It's looking not too awful. I am farming gear. Shocker. I actually started farming Fennec shards.
Good.
So,
yeah.
She is going to be very important now for Grand Arena, because you can use a bounty hunter squad to counter solo GLs. So if you need to clean up, she is the key piece that you need. So I need her.
Solo galactic lit.
If you need to two shot
the rest of their squad,
if you need to two shot a galactic legend, you can use bounty hunters with Fennec.
Gotcha.
Which credit where it's due, that's from Xerath, but that whole bounty hunter squad can do every galactic legend solo, so gonna need her. But other than that, it's all gear for zombie Palpatine. I'm doing my troopers for him first, so Veers and Stark are getting the gear first. And then I'll probably do a mini detour to actually have a proper trooper squad built up with them, and then finish the Empire Palpatine requirements. Eternal, nice. Whatever. Sith Eternal, whatever.
Nice.
Yeah. So what about you?
So I just today got Echo at 7-star.
Bad Batch Echo? Obviously.
Bad Batch Echo. Yeah, Bad Batch Echo. Bad Batch Echo.
Yeah.
So now all of my Bad Batch that are needed for Vader are 7-star. I don't have the gear 12 plus pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to be a severe bottleneck. I hope that's what phase 2 of their gear crunch changes are going to be.
That would be nice.
Because at this point with my roster, I don't think that the stun guns are going to be as pivotal
No.
You know, whatever the purple stuff needed for the Gear 12 Plus pieces are.
I have stun guns now, and I never used to.
Right.
And now I have, I think I have 160 or 170 of them. And I always had zero because I would need one and equip it. And then I would start from scratch again.
Right.
But as we thought, I don't have carbs.
Yes, I'm lower than those on my stun guns as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, so I'm hoping that they can help me with that. But I've still got a lot of relic stuff to get, or signal data to get in the meantime anyways.
Right.
So it looks like I shall... I'll say I'm a month away from Lord Vader at this point. Or at least getting to where I can do the requirements.
That's really good.
The tickets. Yeah. I think by end of year, I'll be getting tickets for Lord Vader.
That's really good. Considering we're, you know, it's December 8th.
Right, right. Because I've got Padme that needs 3 more relic levels.
Okay.
She's at 5. She needs to be 8. Tarkin needs 2 more.
Okay.
Newt needs 2 more. There's somebody else that needs to be relic 7 that isn't yet. So I've got 3 characters at 5 that need to be 7 or 8. And then I've got my gear 12 right now, Echo, that needs to be relic 5.
Right.
So just those 4 characters left, and I'll be farming tickets.
That's not that bad.
It's not bad.
That's not bad. I like it.
Well, thanks for joining us this week, everybody. Pleasure talking with you, Sarah, as always.
You too.
And let us know on Discord what your guys' impressions are and whether you have such a positive view still. Especially since we got to talk through it. Like, talking through it, I feel much even better now than I did before.
Yeah, like when I first read it, I was like, oh no, this is going to be bad. And then I actually like digested it and I was like, oh, this is actually not that bad.
Like, it's going to be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it'll even be better with having a week off.
Yeah.
That, you know, I could have argued, even if they didn't give us that week off, they don't have to give us that for not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
But no, now we're going to get crystals for doing nothing.
Literally.
And still get as much or more than we were before overall.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Well, thanks for joining us. We look forward to chatting next time. That ought to do it. And until next time, Chewie, we're home.